Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
The stupid. That is 45% of the undecideds, John. They are the swingest of the swing voters. And they, as they always do, will decide this election.
And it's a fascinating thing. Now, how do you break down the stupids?
Well, ironically, it's a rather complex demographic. You've got your paste-eaters, your numbskulls, your nitwits, your f***tards. People whose head gets stuck in jars when they eat pickles. That's a surprisingly large component. People who lose arguments to babies, douche nozzles, tiger petters.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm not familiar with all the lingo. Tiger petters.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's people who go into zoos and they pet tigers. Let's push on. People who jump up and down on frozen lakes to check if the ice is strong enough to hold them. Shaved gorillas who've somehow acquired driver's licenses. The voluntarily lobotomized. And finally, Cubs fans.
Cubs fans. Now, they're... Cubs fans are considered a subset of the stupid.
Oh, absolutely, John. I mean, they've had 100 years to figure out that what they want will never happen, yet they still yearn for it.
And that is stupid.
Yes, it's very
stupid. Because the Cubs will never win.
No, that's right, John. The Chicago Cubs will never, ever win the World Series.
No, they won't.
They won't do it.
They've made God angry.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with eggplants. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And of course, I urge all Cub fans to vote. Regardless of what's happened to you in your sports life in the past 100 years, get out and vote.
Isn't it like now officially 102 years?
I believe it is.
Yes.
But I have to play, you know, the Jon Stewart thing. It's a ritual now. Every time we get near an election.
Or the World Series. Because San Francisco just clinched their spot last night. They're going.
How weird is that?
Yeah, no Yankees. I was way to go, Texas.
We got Kansas,
I'm finally happy that Texas did something and beat the Yankees. Good
you
for
know
you,
I,
Texas.
I have a rule of thumb. Never root for a team from Florida or Texas.
Why?
Just because they're evil states, okay?
But, Bush Association.
What?
The governors, the Bush Association.
Just everything. I mean,
Florida, though.
Disney World is evil.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Do you
it's
know how fascist Disney World is? Do you have any idea? I was
all
down.
I
no, I'm going to tell you a story.
I
am going to tell you a story right now about going down to Disney World, all right, in the early 90s and trying to walk across the grounds to get from one place to another. And this van pulls up. Oh sir, you cannot walk. Actually, it wasn't me. It was friends of mine, but they tell the story. They said, you cannot walk there. What do you mean? We just want to walk across the lawn to get to this. No. Hop in the van, please. We'll take you. Well, we just want to walk. No, get in the van. This is Disney World, okay?
Don't step on the lawn.
Don't step on the lawn. You kids, get off my lawn!
I don't see why you have a problem.
except it's Goofy going, get off my lawn.
It'd be okay. Well, I'd rather have Goofy yell at me than you.
I'm not yelling at you.
No, but you're yelling at the kids on your lawn.
I don't yell at the kid. I don't have a lawn. I ripped it out.
No, I have Disney World stories, but that's for a much later hour of radio, not at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Well, okay, and I'll give you one other story. If you've ever been down there.
It is the happiest place on earth. I'll say that.
You could say it. It's not true. The Republicans say a lot of things that are just out and out lies, too. You could say Disney World's the happiest place on earth.
When
it's
you're there
not
with
true.
Kids, it's so much fun.
You know, my favorite part is the people who go down there and they see this miniature Eiffel Tower and they say, whoop, don't have to go to Paris now.
Oh, I know.
I've been
now
there.
That, yeah.
I've seen it.
I'm there with
Done
you.
It.
I'm there with you on that.
I'm sorry.
And,
it's just like.
But I went with my little cousins when they were, you know, like toddlers and, you know, and now I have a little guy. It's fun with kids. Could I go out there on my honeymoon per se? Oh, gosh, no. But
I would,
fun
if you threaten to go there on your honeymoon, I will lock you up.
There are people that do that. There were people there. There was a woman. She had like a baseball hat with Mickey Mouse ears and the veil sticking out the back. And I'm like, wow. Like, I'd rather do Niagara Falls than that.
Oh, Niagara Falls is cool.
It's a lot of water. But like, once
no,
you
it's
see
not.
The falls,
okay.
What do they have there?
Benjamin Cox begs to differ about Ooh, Niagara no. Falls. Why? Did you have your honeymoon there or something?
No, I just went. That was a big mistake.
Isn't
it's,
it just a lot
horrible.
Of water?
And the amazing thing is
but
you
it's
think
beautiful.
It's better than at least it's real.
Yeah, but it's a natural wonder. It's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong.
Canada always touts itself as this dignified country. And you know, it's so much better than the United States. And that side is 100 times worse than the United States side at night.
Really?
Oh, it's cheesy and horrible. And
what, the Canadian side is worse?
It's terrible.
Yeah, I have to admit, I haven't been there in 30 years.
No,
so.
There's just garbage everywhere. Casinos and bad restaurants and, you know, people trying to get in your pocket. It's terrible.
Oh, dear.
When I was young, though, I did go to Epcot Center and went on a behind-the-scenes, you know, whole gardening thing there and saw all kinds of amazing things.
I did, too. I went down there with the Gargantua Radio when I was working for Gargantua Radio down the dial. And I got to go behind the scenes. I saw the topiary and how they put the topiary together, which, you know, I consider plant mutilation, but that's me. There's an art to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and... You're not supposed to know this, but I got to go in the tunnels.
Cool. Now that's cool.
And see the characters with their heads off. That was great. And see where they sneak, you know, they kind of slide into the crowd. Suddenly, ooh, there's Mickey Mouse. There's Minnie. Yeah. So, all right. That voice you heard is Benjamin Cox. He's the executive director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. He's here for a little bit to talk about some forest preserve issues. We got elections coming up, and again, whether you're a Cubs fan or not, go out and vote. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Green Party fan, flavor you choose. The only thing we have going for us as a democracy sometimes is the fact that we can get out and vote. It unfortunately seems to mean less and less as the big money players get involved, but we still have it. And the only way we can affect real change in this country is to vote. And it's discouraging that even now that we allow early voting in so many states, we still won't get to 50%. 50% of the people out there who are eligible to vote do not vote. They have abdicated their roles as citizens in the country. And if somebody complains about the government, ask them first if they voted. If they say no, you say, shut up.
True.
Shut up and go away. I'm not interested in your opinion. You do not have an opinion. If you can't take a half an hour or whatever it takes to go out and vote, and I'm not even asking you to do it right, doing it right is hard work. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, on this station and on other stations that you'd think the only elections were Janulius and I don't know. What else? Is there anything else? Because there are so many contests out there. You know, do you know who you're voting for Water Reclamation Board? Do you know who
Do you know why you need to vote for Water Reclamation Board and what they do?
Good point. Do you know who you're voting for, county commissioner, perhaps county commissioner president, and that doesn't even take us to the judicial ballots. You know, probably the hardest part.
That is the hardest part.
It's so easy, though. It's very easy. You just go to the Bar Association pages, and they tell you
yeah.
who to keep, and you can look at a couple different ones and compare. And
you mix and match,
right?
And if two out of three say this one's not qualified, don't vote for them. Don't retain them.
Right.
And usually, they're pretty good about it. My feeling is, and you know, first of all, judges should not be elected. I just think it's wrong because most people don't pay attention. We don't know what we're doing, and not, you know, not everybody's you, Benjamin, going to or me going, you know, to at least look at the recommendations right. and trying to put them together. I have three or four people, you know, I'm on various email lists, and a number of them have sent me lists, and I look at them and I do the comparisons, but. I think a lot of people go into the vote and they either don't vote at all for the judges.
Right. They skip it.
They skip it. Or they vote yes for everything. Or they vote no for everything, which is just as dangerous. Because there are good people out there. You know, believe it or not.
You're messing with somebody's career. It's amazing.
Yeah. And why,
lazy.
Why the state of Illinois does not take that out of the hands of... And it's weird to say take it out of the hands of the voters. I know that sounds kind of anti-democratic, but it's not. It's if the voters are not educated... I mean, this doesn't happen in other states. I know some states it does, but in others, there are appointments based on merit.
Yeah, and we elect many, many, many more people in this state.
And I think it keeps people away from the polls, and perverts the democratic process somehow. It's mm-hmm. it's weird. At any rate, there's my rant for the day.
Sure.
Sure, right. Right.
Yeah, that'll be, that'll be the only one. Okay.
Again, it's called The What Show?
Whoa. It is The Mike Novak Show. Yay. And you can get us on Twitter, Facebook. We're on iTunes. Benjamin, you're going to be on iTunes by the end of the day. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really cool. I have in my desk, I have from the Down the Dial show, they'd hand me a cassette tape when I left the show sometimes.
Oh, yeah, the Down the Dial show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cassettes.
Cassettes.
Wow.
Cassettes.
Now
what do I do with that?
That's, you know, I don't do cassettes anymore. I just tell people go to the website because cassettes, you got to figure out how to recycle. After a certain point.
They don't even have them in the studio anymore. That's
not here.
A dead technology. They're gone.
We do not have cassettes here.
They're gone.
But Benjamin Cox is here in Friends of the Forest Preserves. After 10 o'clock, Julie Rizzo from Recycled Granite. She's going to tell you how they are recycling granite, making it into pavers, and saving all this stuff from landfills, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. Scott Kuntz from Old House Gardens will be here. We're actually going to talk some gardening later in the show. It's fall bulb planting time. And Scott Kuntz from Old House Gardens, which is in Ann Arbor, Michigan, not too far away. And what they do is they preserve heirloom bulbs. So, you know, a bulb that Thomas Jefferson grew in his yard. Is something that you can get at Old House Gardens. Was somebody complaining?
No, he wanted to mention, he had a comment about judicial retention ballots, and I went, oh, hang on. And I was, you know, kind of whispering because I'm sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
He went, I'm sorry, I can't hear. And he hung up, and I'm like, oh, well.
Bye.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, if you want to make a comment about elections, yeah, go ahead. The other thing we're going to do is we got some tickets to give away.
Yes, we do. We have the Tom Hartman versus Michael Medved great debate. We've got 5 sets of tickets for that event. On the 28th of this month out at the Meadows Club in Rolling Meadows. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be quite heated, I believe. That's, you know, the left side of the room versus the right side of the room.
And I heard Michael Sanders talking about that earlier.
I really hope I can go. I want to find time and go because it's going to be interesting. But at the same token, that kind of stuff really gets my Irish up, as my grandmother used to say.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if my hot-headed, loudmouth self should really be there. It's a debate.
But we have how many sets of tickets?
We have 10 tickets total. We're going to give away 5 sets. But there was a woman by the name of Gigi who was calling. Folks don't know, I work at WCPT during the week as the office manager, and a woman was calling.
She runs the place, okay?
Nah, don't. I just make friends with the right people.
You know you do. That's why you're blushing.
I order the pencils and stuff, so.
That's what I mean. You run the place.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
But this woman was calling all week. She's a devoted listener. She lost her job in the Bush recession. She does not have the extra income to purchase tickets to go. She's been wanting to know if we needed volunteers, but, you know, we have all the people we need, and, like, we, you know, just looking around to see if there was any way she'd come in even for standing room. So I took down her name and number, and I want to give her one of the sets of tickets that we have today, just off the bat.
We are, because she called
for a week, and everyone tried to help her, and she got lost in the voicemail shuffle, and her name is Gigi, and if she's listening, she should call 773-838-9278 right now, and, you know, we can have a little fun on the radio. If not, I'll call her after the show and just find out where to send her
but
tickets.
You other people, we will be giving them out during the show at various times.
Yes.
So we'll make sure we get folks who want to go to the Great Debate this Thursday.
And I misspoke. They won't be sent out to you. You will be on a will call list at the door mm-hmm. when you win. So
okay, there mm-hmm. you have it. All right, now, I'm already going to ask you to stay till 9. Is that possible, or do you got to get out of here real quick?
It started at 9.
Yeah.
The show started
10.
At 9.
I still think the show starts at 8. It's still hard for me to. Hey, listen, I freak out every Sunday when I wake up and go, oh my God, I'm late.
I have that panic attack in the car. Like, I'll look at the clock in the car and I'm like, oh wait, no, I still got like 40 minutes.
Yeah. So, that is Benjamin Cox from Friends of the Forest Preserves. Let me take care of some business and then we will dive right into the conversation about that. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. This is a fact. Since August 3rd, the Chicago area has had only one day with more than half an inch of rainfall. Yeah, it's scary. That's a span of 81 days. If you planted trees this year, or if they're 1 or 2 years old, they might be experiencing drought stress. If you want your young trees to make it through the winter, get out the drip hose laid at the base of your trees and shrubs and let it trickle, and I mean trickle, for as long as a couple of hours. And do it until the ground is frozen. And I know I keep hammering away at this, but really, it is important. The Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland with 9 locations for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Now, next time you're driving down Grand Avenue, just west of the Loop in Chicago, look for the explosion of color on the north side of the street. That's Grand Street Gardens, smack in the middle of the city at 2200 West Grand at Levitt. It's close to DePaul, Ukrainian Village, Logan Square, and other great neighborhoods. We're talking about city living here. At Grand Street, you're going to find a great fall selection of pumpkins and gourds. This is the week. I haven't carved mine yet, so I got to get that. Have you carved yours?
Not yet. We're going to do it Saturday, I think.
I'm going to do it, I'm hoping, maybe tonight. Who knows? And did I mention that their selection of trees, shrubs, and perennials are 25 to 50% off for the remainder of the season? But here's another reason to shop at Grand Street Gardens. The birds you love to feed, protect, and watch in your yard during the cold winter months. I saw a wonderful presentation at the Open Lands Luncheon the other day. Were you there, Benjamin?
No, actually, I was in a panel discussion. It just happened to line up at the same time because I love that Open Lands Luncheon.
Oh, what a great event that is. Mm-hmm. And what was it? Jonathan Rosen, who's an author and birder, was talking about, he lives in New York. He goes to Central Park to watch birds. He goes to Washington Square and sees birds. I mean, you can do it in the city. So even if you live in the city, you can feed and protect the birds you love. And if you're a backyard bird watcher, stop into Grand Street Gardens today for bird food and supplies. Grand Street Gardens, your source for organic and earth-friendly products right here in the heart of Chicago. Yes, this is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I've been remiss in letting Benjamin Cox, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserves, talk business here. But then you've been on your PDA there or your cell phone or whatever it is. You're just doing business all the time, aren't you?
I'm telling folks that I'm on the radio and they should listen.
Go, yeah, are you on Twitter?
No, Facebook and just regular email, old school listserv.
You got to get the Twitter thing going. I it works better for radio, I think, than for other people, but I like it. By the way, just welcome back. It's always great to have you here. If you go to my website, mikenovak.net, and go to this week's show, I've got information about Friends of the Forest Preserves. I always put the links up. I always put a picture of you, Benjamin. We've got election's coming up, and obviously we don't have Todd Strojer to kick around anymore.
Right.
And I know you can't endorse candidates
right.
Because you're a not-for-profit organization. But let me ask you to make a prediction about, will things change? I mean, obviously we'll have different person at the helm, but is that going to make any difference?
You know, last time when...
And we're talking about the president of the...
President of the Cook County Board. Also the president of the Forest Preserve Board.
Because they're the one and the same.
They are, and they're two separate governments run by the same Board of Commissioners.
We'll get into that question
right.
in a second.
But the last time, you know, Todd Strojer had a whole ton of us serve on a transition team, and we did a ton of research and spent days and days interviewing staff and made all these great recommendations. And he never even acknowledged the fact that we did all that work, let alone published a report.
See, I didn't know that.
So now this go-around, before the elections actually happened, one of the candidates, Alderman Preckwinkle, has had policy teams working on a lot of different issues, including Forest Preserve, and had a lot of smart people doing work on that. Now, I've got to say, I've also spoken with the other two candidates for the Fort County Board President and many of the other ones for mm-hmm. commissioners, too. But she's put a lot of time and energy into it, and I think if she does run with our recommendations, there could be change. There could be a lot of really good change.
All right, let's get to that question of how the Forest Preserves and the County Board are run by the same organization. Basically, they are two major operations. And one of the things you learn if you look at both operations is sometimes running both of them can be a conflict of interest.
Right.
And one of the things that you have recommended for a while now is that the county board split, the Forest Preserve split from the county board, so we have two different organizations. What is the chance of that happening under a new regime or after these elections? I don't know. You know, I don't even know if you can say that'd be a new regime because a lot of the same commissioners will be there. There might be new ones. There's obviously going to be new president. But what's the chance of this happening?
Be two new commissioners for sure, but that's two out of 17, and there might be a couple more. I don't know. There's a couple races in just a couple of the districts. A lot of the commissioners are running unopposed or against somebody that isn't really qualified or isn't really putting on a campaign. Mm-hmm. So we know we're going to keep a lot of them. We came really close with the board separation this back in the spring downstate in Springfield, where mm-hmm. The law that created the Forest Preserves is a state law, so it has to be changed by the state legislature. But then right when the bill sponsors were kind of moving forward, they checked in with the candidates and discussed this with Alderman Preckwinkle, who's the likely person to win the election because Democrats, you know, win this almost always in Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, hold on, give me a chance to run things for a little while and see if I can make it better. She's also said that maybe it's something she'd look at midterm. So in a couple years, we'll look back at it. Friends isn't going to let up on it, neither is the Civic Federation, our 100-and-some-year-old partner on this. And then we've got a coalition of other really great organizations, including Open Lands and some of the others that we all agree it's something that just needs to happen. And it's not about personalities or specific commissioners. It's just really like you said.
It's about good government.
It's good government. They're two separate governments, completely different missions. They just shouldn't be run by the same people.
I'm going to get to that again because this year you released a green paper, and some of the friends you were talking about, Audubon in the Chicago region, Friends of the Parks, Friends of the Chicago River, Open Lands, and Sierra Club, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
All joined forces with Friends of the Forest Preserves to create a green paper on key policy issues. Was that in anticipation of the election?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And have you had any success getting candidates to recognize this and acknowledge what you've done?
We sure have, and we've had some of them come to the office and talk. You know, I've gone out and met with different folks and had a lot of really good conversations. Even some sitting commissioners have inquired about it. So,
And what I will say about it, I was kind of surprised, Benjamin, because you told me to take a look at it, and I did, and I was expecting, you know, 27 pages in single space. It's really not very long, and it's in plain English with bullet points, lines it out, and says this is what we got to accomplish. Now, obviously, it's short on how to do it, but that's not your job necessarily. It's your job is to say this is what the county needs, among the things you talk about, land policy and land acquisition. I was amazed at the whole land acquisition section about it, because you state in the paper that over the last decade, the other five counties in the Chicago region have collectively raised more than $1.1 billion to acquire land. And in Cook County, zero, right? Zero.
Right. They've taken some of your regular tax money and used that to buy land, but they haven't done any referendum like they have in the other counties.
Well, because you know, everybody's terrified to mention taxes at all,
right?
And that's, and part of that is going to be the legacy of John Stroger. And some people say, I was reading this very interesting article that Ben Jarofsky wrote in the Reader. He said, you know, maybe in 20 years, people think he was very brave to have that 1% tax increase because you got to have revenues to run government, right? But right now he's a pariah,
right?
And that's why he came in fourth in the primary,
right?
It's interesting that we have not raised any money.
Well, and let's be clear, the Forest Preserve budget's been in good shape for years, and they passed that budget separate from the county, so that you hear all the time about how the county's failing and the, you know, $500 million budget gaps and all these issues. Forest Preserve hasn't raised your taxes in many years. It's less than 1% of your property tax bill.
But people, I would argue that people don't see the difference. They don't care if it's the Forest Preserve or the Cook County Board or, you know, Cook County government in general. They just see it as a tax increase.
Yeah, they always say it's run by the same crooks, you know. So,
and well, it is right now. Not that they're crooks, but they might be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, some of them are really great, dedicated people. And, you know, we work with all the commissioners at any chance that we get because we're just trying to advance the mission of the Forest Preserve.
Yeah. That's Benjamin Cox, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. Let's take a phone call, because not only do we have Cook County issues at stake in this election, let's bring in Judith. And you're calling from DuPage, is that right, Judith?
That's right, Mike. I'm calling from DuPage County.
And you've got an issue out there as well regarding the Forest Preserves of DuPage County. Tell me what it is.
Yeah, we do out here. And hello, Benjamin. Great to hear you.
Hello.
We have, you know, our Forest Preserve District is separate from our county board.
The first to do it.
Because we realized that what's in the best interest of the public from the county board perspective is very different than what's in the best interest.
Well, don't
of
you
our
have
forest preserves and our marshlands out here?
Yeah, don't you have an issue about one of your forest preserve areas where some people would like to have a road go through it, and other people are trying to keep it intact?
Exactly. That's our marshlands area, and they wanted a road to go through it, and they wanted to build a huge, just a huge storage facility. And our citizens got together and stopped them from doing that. And some of those citizens are running for DuPage County Forest Preserve District. Some of the districts we have, District 2, 4, and 6, Hillary Dank, Eric Bergman, and Shannon Burns are running for those different districts. And Shannon Burns and Dennis Clark got together and stopped them from building that road. And just ask them to be accountable, because even though they're separate, we don't have a Friends of the Forest Preserves out here to keep that Forest Preserve District Board accountable. And there's just all sorts of stuff going on, you know, the no-bid contracts and no due diligence on change orders and all sorts of campaign contributions from vendors of the Forest Preserve District. All these kinds of things are going on, and there's no accountability. So that's our big issue out here.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Judith. I saw an article the other day that talked about the district out there and how the president, okay, and you got to understand that unlike in Cook County, DuPage has separate boards, one for the Forest Preserve, one for the county.
Right.
And the county president is apparently making noises that he would like to join the two back together.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. Dan Cronin wants to join the two back together, which would be disastrous. So, you know, so Carol Cheney, who's running for DuPage County Board President, you know, or DuPage County Board Chair, does not want to do that. you know, she sees, realizes that that would, I mean, that would be taking the clock back, wouldn't it?
Well, it is, and that's what I find interesting, that that might be an issue because of the finances, because of the economy. I think the argument that some people would make is, well, you know, we can't afford to be running two separate boards. It costs too much for the county, so we should merge them back together as a cost-cutting measure. And,
oh, my gosh.
Well, and I say, oh, my gosh, because I understand that, as we mentioned earlier in the program, that might actually be a conflict of interest.
Completely. Completely. You can't. They can't be, I mean, as Benjamin stated also, they can't be the same, because what's in the best interest of the forests and the marshlands is not necessarily in the best interest of the public.
So who is the president of the forest board out there now, and what does that election look like?
Very interesting. Thank you for asking, Michael. The Forest Preserve District...
Happy to do it, Judith.
The Forest Preserve District president is currently Dewey Parati, and he has been the Forest Preserve District president for a long time, and he's the guy that is just, you know, nothing is transparent. He doesn't respond to the citizens. There's no accountability. You know, you go to the website, you can't find anything out. 2004, he was supposed to have an ethics committee. An ordinance was signed and approved unanimously. 2004, there is no ethics committee. So, you know, Dewey is just kind of not doing his job. Dennis Clark has run a magnificent campaign and was endorsed by the Chicago Tribune.
So I take it you're a Dennis Clark fan.
Yep, I am. And you know, Dennis Clark, I mean, he knows what he's doing. And he and Shannon Burns have actually gotten certified from the Morton Arboretum for woodlands stewardship.
Well, yeah, that's really interesting. It's nice to have people with a hands-on approach.
The education and to know what they're doing, to actually know about forest preserves, managing and maintaining and developing, all that kind of thing.
Well,
really know.
You know, it's interesting because we were talking about the elections earlier, and there again, so many races. I don't know much about that DuPage race because I live in the city and it's hard enough to focus on what's going on here. And yet, for the people of DuPage County, it's it means a lot.
Yes, well, and I think it's wonderful that you have us both, Benjamin Cox and a voter from DuPage County, on your show, Mike, because you know we're right next to each other. And certainly just the fact that Cook County has not separated these two governmental entities is significant, whereas in DuPage we have separated.
And yet, as you
but
said,
there's still no accountability.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys are learning your politics from Chicago, well, I think.
Right, yeah, and right. Vice versa. We need a friend. We need a friend like Benjamin is executive director of.
You know, yeah, I mean, we've seen that as a potential issue also, is that, you know, having a separate board doesn't mean all of a sudden it's going to get all the attention it does, but I mean, that it deserves. But right now, what happens and what happens on a regular basis is that commissioners, you know, that are running and even the board president that's running, they don't even have to mention forest preserves. They don't have to have a platform. They don't have to – they're not held accountable to it. And if it was a separate elected group, then we could at least see what their platform is and why they want to be forest preserve commissioners. And try and hold them accountable to the mission of the Forest Preserve. I mean, we know that chances are that you're going to get some people who are trying to climb the political ladder, wanting to get elected to that because it's a, you know, it would be a significant position in the county, and then you could step up from there. That's fine, but at least we could hold them accountable to the mission of the Forest Preserve.
Well, Judith, thank you so much for calling in and
thank you for having me on, Mike. I really appreciate it.
And again, obviously, your word is, you know, get out and vote, and especially, how do people get more information about those candidates?
Oh, thank you for asking. You can go to the Democrats of DuPage County. You can go to the central website, or each of the candidates. Dennis Clark has his own website, electdennisclark.com, and electshannonburns.com, electericbergman.com, and electhillarydank.com. And again, Dennis and Shannon got their woodlands steward certification for Morton Arboretum, 100 hours of classroom and outside experience in restoration management and environmental practices and techniques. And that, and you know, Benjamin can tell you that's the kind of people we want on a Forest Preserve District Board.
Well, yeah, you certainly do want people who have an idea, not of, of how to push beans around, but
right,
how to maintain
climbing the ladder of politics. This is, it's not about that. It's about our, preserving our forest preserves and wetlands.
At a minimum, I mean, you know, I hope that we can get people who elected who are smart enough to elect people. I mean, to hire good people to run the forest preserves.
Yeah, that's part of the.
So you don't necessarily have to be an expert in the issue, but at least care enough to pay attention to who's working there,
right?
And not just try and get your friends and relatives in.
Well, Judith, you're an eloquent spokesperson for the Democrats of DuPage County. So,
well, thank you, Mike, and you're a great talk show host. Thank you for the great work that you're doing. Really.
Wow, it's a mutual admiration society here. All right, well, you have a great Sunday.
Okay, you too, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. You know, no, I was thinking we should call Mr. DiMaio. So I give a little hand signal because you got to understand, here at the Chicago's Progressive Talk, as you know, because you can hear her talking on the phone, Heather Fry sits right next to me in the studio. You know, they said, do you want her down the hall in the other room or do you want her in the studio? I said, no, I want her in the studio.
You masochist.
I know. and so I just gave her a little hand signal to call, and she's like calling our 10 o'clock guest, and no, we need Rick DiMaio.
Yeah.
Remember, he's at 9:30.
He's at 9:30.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I need my second cup of coffee. I haven't cracked it yet. It's up there on the file cabinet. Well, I bring two, folks.
and they're huge. Yes.
And Benjamin Cox from Friends of the Forest Preserves is going to stick around for a little bit, and we will get back to him because there's a few more. I want to talk a little bit more about that green paper on key policy. And maybe in brief, you can give us a state of the Forest Preserves update right now. Let us know how things are going. Before we do that, however, as we get to winter, your outdoor plants, including evergreens and dormant trees and shrubs, become more vulnerable than ever. Cold weather, blustery winds, and frozen soils reduce a plant's ability to absorb moisture needed to maintain vitality. And of course, there are the critters, which are foraging for whatever food they can find. That's why you need Bobex. It prevents moisture loss while making your plants unpalatable to deer, rabbits, voles, and more. I guess I would be remiss if I didn't ask very quickly, what's the deer population like in the forest preserves right now?
You know, that's a significant problem. I mean, we got rid of everything that eats them, and we quit eating them. So, you know, and a deer can have two or three babies a year, sometimes even twice a year. So there's plenty of deer in the forest preserves.
Do we have an enlightened policy about culling the populations?
They do it pretty kind of behind the scenes and quietly because it's, you know, it's a very touchy issue.
Yeah.
Will County just had a huge discussion on their board about this over several months and lots of public hearings. And in Will County, you know, we think we have a lot of elected officials here. They've got 27 commissioners on their board down there. And 26 of the 27 voted to allow deer culling in the Will County preserves. Bottom line is that they're just out of balance.
And all right, I got, and I know I'm in the middle of the Bobex spot, and I'll get right back to that. But some guy sent me something a few months ago about how they were going to in Will County that there was some idea that they might let hunters come in and
right.
shoot deer.
Right.
That it didn't sound like the smartest thing in the world.
It is if you do it right, and if you do it, you know, because hunters are out there real early in the morning. They're not out there all day, and if you make sure they're certified ahead of time with some sort of qualification and those kind of things.
And if you don't wear your antler hat, you're in no danger
right,
at all.
Right. And okay. Also, I mean, you got to make sure you know they're using the right kind of you know ammunition
yeah.
and things.
Okay.
So, there's different ways to go about it.
Well, I'll bet it's still controversial. Anyway, back to Bobex. Because the weather is cold, they love us. Is this a 5-minute commercial? Because the weather is cold, you don't have to spray very often. In spring and summer, you might be applying Bobex every week or every other week. In the fall and winter, spray every 4 to 8 weeks, depending on severity of the problem. Bobex is a family-owned company, and they care about the environment, which is why they use a non-toxic formula that repels critters by both odor and taste, and it gives your plants and bulbs a chance to survive the winter. Bobex is available only at local independent garden centers like Pasquazi Home and Gardens in Barrington, Illinois, Sandy's Back Porch Garden Center in Belleville, Illinois, Platte Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
La 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 Lurvies, Landscape Supply and Garden Center. Primp, not pimp, primp your garden for, although I, at one point, I thought I was going to call my radio show Pimp My Garden. do you like that idea?
I just see Huggy Bear as a lawn ornament on your in the middle of your garden.
Well, pimp my garden. Anyway, primp your garden for fall, courtesy of the discounts at their Displains Outpost at 2550 East Dempster Street, 20 to 50% off through October 31st. That's next Sunday. Some scary good deals. Perennials, grasses, vines, ground covers, and hydrangea shrubs are 20% off. Deciduous shade, ornamental spruce and pine trees, as well as broadleaf evergreens, including holly, boxwood, rhododendron, and azalea, 30% off. And with a $25 purchase, you'll receive a bag of Bayer tree and shrub planting mix. Lurvy's has a wide selection of bulbs, such as mums and bulbs and mums and pansies, cabbage and kale, and the hot pink perennial, the Invincible Spirit Hydrangea. And they have ongoing shipments of fresh stock. That's the cool thing. They're still getting fresh stuff in, so you can properly stock your garden this planting season. Don't forget your Halloween goodies. 1 week till the big day. Pumpkins, gourds, cornstalk, straw, and more pumpkins. Pumpkin pie. So plant yourself over at Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, located on Dempster Street, just east of I-294 in Des Plaines. For hours and more info, call 847-824-7411. Even better, visit lurvys.com, lurvys.com. Oh, I hate to burst your bubble. Zamboni just tweeted us and said that we just shattered her illusions about my show. She'd been envisioning this Fraser Roz setup with Mike in one booth and Heather in the next.
Through the window.
Through the window.
That's technically how it should be. That's like what a normal host-producer setup looks like.
Yeah, but what we do is we put Rick DeMaio in a glass bubble. All right? And then we open and we let a little air in there and then we let him speak to us.
And we float him over the lake so he can just give us the weather.
Oh, my gosh. I've never gotten you to this late before, have I?
No, that's okay. I was just looking at the sneak previews for Desperate Housewives tonight, so I had plenty of time.
I'm not even going to go down that road. Okay.
Apparently, Bree gets it three times tonight, so I'm really interested in watching it.
Oh, dear. And, you know... I would be embarrassed, except those are the promos they've been running. So, what can I tell you? They do that on national television.
I think cheese.
Anyway, back to...
We're not talking about cheese.
I know.
Well, unless you're from Wisconsin and... you got to be a happy camper. They beat up on Iowa. Well, they didn't beat up on Iowa. It was a good game yesterday.
Oh, that was a terrific game. I mean, talk about the fact that they do a fake punt and go all the way down the length of the field and... beat Iowa in Iowa, which is not an easy thing to do, but I think it just shows you that with Northwestern almost beating Michigan State, I think the Big Ten is a little bit up in the air this season, Mike. But, great football all the way around, and, of course, Missouri beats Oklahoma. So who knows, I guess after Oregon crushes UCLA, I guess they're the new number one now, right?
I believe so. Yeah. I think that's the way that's going to go, but they'll lose next week. So.
Probably that's the way number ones have been going, but we're winning this week, and isn't this great weather? It's kind of nice.
You know what? It just goes on and on and on. A little, not quite as sunny. You sent me something about the sunshine in the beginning of October?
Yeah, through the first 21 days, This actually comes from Steve Kahn, a climatologist who is an ex-National Weather Service guy. Well, now has basically become a climatology expert. Record amount of sunshine, 86% for the first 21 days of October. What I think normal is somewhere around 65, Mike. And we head into November. November is typically the cloudier month, beating out January by about an hour or two, only because we generally tend to get those nice, clear, cold Arctic days in January, but November tends to be very cloudy. And it's just amazing. I have my weather students in several classes that I teach do what's called a daily weather log, and I said, I know we're starting this now, and I know you're supposed to be observing clouds, but it's okay that over the next 7 days you have nothing but clear skies on your observations, and it's been absolutely beautiful. And obviously part of that due to the fact that it's been so dry, but I think you've seen this as well, Mike. The fall foliage, obviously about 2 weeks ahead of schedule, but I seriously think we missed out on the best colors. I think the best colors were last weekend, and this week, have you noticed the trees have that kind of gray, kind of sad look to them, a lot of the leaves?
I haven't noticed that so much, but I think I agree with you that the colors have been a little muted. We've got Benjamin Cox from, you're out in the Forest Preserves. What are you seeing?
They came and went really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just happened almost overnight.
Right.
I think it has a lot to do with how dry it's been.
Right. Yeah. And I think also, Benjamin, you know, we had, you know, temperatures 6.5 degrees above normal in April, 4 degrees above normal in May. Everything basically bloomed out about 2 weeks ahead of time, and I think they're kind of, just the leaves say, well, I guess I have to start changing color now. And because we've had so little moisture in the ground, only 1 day above a half inch of rain, Mike, in the last 85 days, and even though we had some good showers moved through yesterday, you know, a lot of wind has basically evaporated that moisture out of the soil.
Sure.
So, you know, we're done, and also the fact that, I shouldn't say we're done, if you can get out today, and even if you have the day off tomorrow, which is going to be an absolutely beautiful day for late October, you'll definitely see, you know, obviously some nice trees, particularly through some of the forest reserves. I was going through the around the Oakton Community College.
Great spot.
gorgeous colors, but they don't have that real bright, brilliant look to them. So one more, I think this is the last weekend. Mainly, Mike, because we have a storm system that comes through here Monday night into Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll see persistent winds over a two-day period, over 30 to 35 miles per hour.
Whoa.
We could even see wind gusts up to 50 Tuesday morning. So that's going to basically take any leaves that are just barely hanging on to the trees and basically blow them into the state of Michigan.
I think
this time next week you'll probably have half the amount of leaves on the trees.
And I better get my tropicals indoors. Now's the time to do it. Okay, I'm glad you warned me about that. So and then do we stay cold for the, is that it? Is the warm weather done?
Well, you know what? Before we get to the cold weather, I mean, we'll probably get to low 70s today. There's some rain down to the south of us, which will be kind of passing through from time to time today. So it'll be a windy, kind of overcast, kind of somewhat wet day, but I think we'll have a lot of dry hours. I think any rain that develops tomorrow is going to be early in the day, and then tomorrow afternoon, it's almost going to feel like a spring day. Almost a lot of sunshine, a lot of high clouds, a lot of wind, but temperatures probably up to about 75 or 76 degrees. And then the bottom really drops out. The front comes through early Tuesday morning, so we'll be probably close to 65, 68 degrees early Tuesday morning. And then by Tuesday afternoon, we'll probably have temperatures in the upper 40s. And then looks like Wednesday, Thursday stays cold, but we may actually warm right back up into the upper 60s Friday and Saturday before yet another storm system comes in. So the bottom line, Mike, is a very, very changeable pattern from a standpoint of a lot of wind and a lot of storms. So the pattern that we were in is pretty much changed, and now we have all these big storm systems coming in from the Rocky Mountains. So it's hard to stay this warm, this dry, this late in the year.
Yeah.
Usually right around the time that end of October period is when things become very, very stormy. So I'm looking for generally stormy conditions between now and probably the next 5 to 6 weeks. I think we're going to have a very, very active pattern across the Midwest.
Well, Benjamin's not happy about that, but
because this is controlled burn season. It's been nice and dry, and we're all getting real excited because, you know, that's one of the key tools for managing natural areas. And as soon as it starts raining, it, you know, stuff won't burn.
And especially the wind is a huge problem.
You need wind, but you don't want a lot of wind.
Yeah.
You have to have some wind, but not a lot of wind.
For The Chicago Wilderness Society, and for the for control burns, wind was the key thing. So the next 3 or 4 days, a lot of wind. So the control burns are going to be either real short or real small, but definitely not large scale.
All right, that's Rick DeMaio. He's on the show every week, has a wonderful forecast. You can go to his website, DeMaioWeather.com. Any appearances on the tube soon?
Well, I stepped on a thing of toothpaste this morning. Does that count?
That's pretty good.
He's a funny guy for a meteorologist.
What time
do
you wake up?
You think I'm funny, Mike? You think I'm funny?
No.
You think I'm funny? What, do I amuse you?
Ask
your
weather.
Nothing on the tube. I'm pretty busy doing some research, so we'll talk more next week.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye. These days, more and more businesses are going green. That's good news, but the growing popularity of green service providers also points to the value of those who have led the way. Now, here's one of the people, one of the organizations that's really led the way, WRD Environmental. Since they were formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects. They've used recycled, energy-efficient supplies and sought nature's balance. Simply put, being green is part of their DNA. I saw Jeff Deegan from WRD Environmental the other day, and he was telling me they're taking the Fish Hotel out of the Chicago River. I love the Fish. I mean, no, for the season.
Oh, okay.
For the don't worry.
No, you kick my puppy, did I? I was like, no, why?
No, because they're done for the season, so they've got to get it out of the river, but it'll be back next year. And he was telling me it's amazing that the plants, the perennials in there, come back every year, and all they have is water. I mean, there's no soil there. They just put them in that floating device, and it's absolutely, what?
I'm just saying, the river's got plenty in it.
Well, it's got some other nutrients, yeah. Some, there's a little effluent in
just
there.
Just a little, 70%. But
anyway,
you know.
They're great people, and for experienced sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental on the web at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. Well, DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's fall decorating time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, and this week the savings are mum-tastic, like they were last year and last week. Sid sold out the first several crops of fall garden mums. I just put some in this week, but a new batch has arrived at their stores, and they're all on sale, from the popular grab-and-go size all the way up to the majestic Sid's Awesome Garden Mum. Hey, listen, you can keep garden mums going until the freeze starts, and that's why they call them hardy. In addition, you'll save 50% on their entire stock of fall and Halloween decor, and up to 75% on all remaining nursery stock. And perennials are buy one, get one free. The ground is still warm. You can get them in, and there's still time to plant spring blooming fall bulbs. SIDS has a huge selection available. They have all the favorites, tulips, daffodils, iris, and more. Plant them now for a spectacular color display next spring. And here's a helpful tip that I'm going to follow this week. When you bring your house plants in from the patio in the next few days, which is probably a good idea, don't bring in any bugs or fungus. See, I leave them out till the very last second. Anyway, you can pre-treat them with Fertilome Triple Action Plus. It's an organic insecticide, miticide, and fungicide all in one. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard, or online at SIDSonline.com.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
All right, we got just a couple of minutes here, and thank you for sticking around. Benjamin Cox, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserves.
My pleasure.
How are things going? I mean, we need better government for the forest preserves, but how are they being managed now, and what's the state of the forest preserves?
Well, from the staff level, I mean, they're doing a much better job than they have for many, many years. It's been great leadership from the General Superintendent. Steve Bylina has really helped turn things around. That's something else you're never going to hear about. The press doesn't like to write about good things, you know. We're doing it now, though, I guess, which is
good.
You
know, I remember when he first came in and people said, this is going to be a good thing, and it's turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah, it has. And, I mean, they still have a long way to go. And a lot of it is that, they're, you know, the gatekeepers are the commissioners, you know. And, again, it would be great to have a separate board that was purely focused on the Forest Preserve. We'll see what happens. I think this next election, it's really looking up. And you know, I've got – I'm optimistic. And I generally am. And this job's made me be a lot more cautious, but I am – probably a lot more optimistic than I've been in a long time.
I think that's interesting that it's made you be more cautious. In what way?
Well, it's Chicago politics. I mean, called reality, and you get a little older and you learn too much.
And I know, but we have such a resource. This is the first forest preserve district in the country and the largest, and all this land.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. 68,000 acres. It's 1%. I mean, it's one out of every 11 acres in the county. So if you took it all and made it one chunk of land, it would cover 45% of the city of Chicago. I mean, it's just unbelievable. DuPage County, Lake County are only at like 25,000 acres each. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got almost three times that here in Cook County.
And education, I think, is the key. We got to let people know that this is not decoration.
These are ecosystems.
These are ecosystems, real ecosystems.
173 threatened and endangered species right here in Cook County. You know, the state, the prairie state's got less than 0.1% of prairie left, and a lot of the best examples are here in Cook County because they started buying land almost 100 years ago, and we're really fortunate to have it. You don't have to go to, you know, way off to Colorado or down to, you know, Central America to see great biodiversity and, you know, many different kinds of species. You got them right here. Some of the best stuff in the whole country.
Yeah, and if you know anything about the Chicago wilderness area, we are a confluence of many ecosystems and some of the most diverse plant and animal life in the world.
Just this unique spot here at the bottom of the corner of the lake. Well, and I wouldn't be a good executive director if I didn't say that we have grown to almost 2,000 members in the past few years. Thank you so much, and we need more. Each person helps us carry more weight with the commissioners and do a better job of protecting the forest preserves, so please go to our website and join.
And it's all on my website, and I'm a member and proud of it. We'll be back next hour. We're going to talk about recycled granite.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Before he left, Benjamin Cox was telling me that they are just shy of getting 2,000 members for Friends of the Forest Preserves. And like I said, I'm a proud member. And I encourage you to go to the website and become a member of Friends of the Forest Preserves because, as we said, it's a remarkable accomplishment to have those lands available to the people in Cook County. And, of course, people in other counties nearby can take advantage of them as well. And Friends of the Forest Preserves is www.fotfp, as in Friends of the Forest Preserves, .org. www.fotfp.org.
It's on your website. It's on – I put it on my Facebook. You Facebooked it. We've tweeted it. It's real easy. It's a click away. Just go there.
We put it everywhere. We are nothing if not social media.
We are definitely social media savvy.
At least
I like to think so.
And, of course, the program, if you don't get a chance to hear the whole thing, you can always go to my website, mikenovak.net. The podcasts are up usually by the end of the day on Sunday. We're on iTunes. You can download it to your iPod, to your whatever device you got.
If it's iTunes, you can do it on the iPod, I believe.
What?
If it's iTunes, it's iPod specific. Yeah. From my understanding.
Oh, is it
yes.
really?
Yes, I believe so. It's Apple.
But we
Apple
have the RSS Apple. Feed, which allows you to download,
you
to,
download
other
to other... You can download to other devices from your homepage, yes.
That's
sir.
Right. Now, I
so,
don't do that.
You have no excuses. You can take us with you everywhere.
And certain people can download it to their pacemakers. And, of course, it might cause you to have another grabber, but... sorry.
That weird.
I know. All right, we need to give away some tickets.
We have tickets and
Julie,
we have
by the way, Julie Rizzo is in the studio. How you doing, Julie?
Speaking of grabbers, I have these two green balls that I brought from home, and I was hoping you could tell me what they are. They're from my tree.
I know what they are. You don't know what that is?
I don't.
May I?
Have you ever
seen
it?
I've never seen that. I don't know what that is.
It's an Osage orange.
We call them monkey brains.
Yes, we do.
That's why Benjamin said that when he was leaving, Osage orange.
What is it?
Oh.
I heard him say that. I'm like, why did he bring up the tree from Kiwani? I was like,
This is, and by the way, I'm glad you said that because next Sunday, Guy Sternberg from a Star Hill Forest Arboretum and the guy who's been the champion of the Osage Orange in Kiwani is going to be on the show to talk about spooky trees in cemeteries.
Cool.
Yeah, and I will give it, I'll have him do an update. Let me see the Osage Orange here. Yeah,
is that edible?
No.
I don't know.
I didn't
no,
think so.
No, not really. No. You wouldn't want to put this on your breakfast table.
I've heard that they keep away bugs. Is that true?
You know, that is a myth, and I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, that's the legend. Let me put it that way. But yeah, spiders are supposed to keep away spiders. But I love Osage oranges. They're just the coolest fruit, and you know, Osage orange is one of the toughest trees out there. You're going to tell us in a second about another tough substance, which is granite. Julie is from... you got like three names of your companies there.
Recycledgranite.com is my domain, and it's my
That's
brand.
All you
so
need to know.
So let's go with recycled.
We'll
granite.
Go with recycledgranite.com. Okay, good. Well, thank you for bringing the monkey brains in.
Yeah.
We need to give away some ticks to the Great Debate, and we have several ways we're going to do that. We're going to ask one question at a time. Should we start with the granite question or should we start with the civil rights question?
Why don't we do a granite sandwich? We'll do granite, civil rights, granite, since that's our topic.
All right, because we want to give away these tickets. You're going to be busy, you know, Heather.
I'm typing and tweeting as fast as I can.
Okay, let's do the first question. This is for two ticks to the Great Debate, Michael Medved and Tom Hartman, this Thursday.
The 28th at the Meadows Club in Rolling Meadows.
All right. And what time is that?
I believe 7:30.
Okay.
And I will double check that for you now.
All right. Julie, give us a question.
On the Mohs scale of hardness, granite would measure at what level of hardness from 1 to 10, with the diamond being 10? Where would granite come in?
The diamond is 10. Monkey brain is 0. And so where would...
Granite come in.
Granite come
what
in.
What number is
773-838-9278. If you can just give us the number, and we will give you two tickets to the Great Debate. Now, I don't know the answer to that.
I do.
Well, yes. I assume that. I hope you do. Good. Now... Julie is here because I've met her a couple of times. One of the reasons is because you're a member of the Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association. And people would say, well, wait a second. She recycles granite. What does that have to do with landscaping?
We use the landscaping pavers for landscaping, for decorative exterior projects.
Oh, great. Okay, that's all the time we have. Good night, everybody.
You're wonderful, Mike.
Yeah. Glad to give you the opportunity.
Yeah.
No, but if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, I put the video on the homepage of you smashing granite. Now, one of the things is you got to understand, and I'm not going to make too much of this, but you're not what I think of when I see a construction worker, okay? But you were with the wheelbarrow hauling the granite into the big machine and slamming the machine down. That looks a little scary to me.
No.
It's not?
My sons can do it. It's very simple.
Okay.
The machine is powerful, and it just stamps it like a giant cookie cutter.
So you mostly make your sons do it, huh?
No, not mostly.
I thought, okay, no, that's a way to do it, is get the kids involved in the business.
We have workers that do that for us. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
And how is it you came about putting this business together?
I was selling...
Just pull the mic just a little closer there.
That's selling granite for a granite countertop company, and I would walk past the dumpster and see hundreds of thousands of pounds of granite being thrown away every day. And, you know, we'd buy a slab of material for $1,000 and 30% of it would end up in the dumpster. And that's $300 just from one slab alone being thrown away. So I would take little pieces and try to make a mosaic at my home. And I remember bringing projects to my mom's house with little marbles in it because I knew something had to be done with this material. So I saw at one of the expos this big machine, and actually it's not big, it's pretty small. And was able to purchase it with the granite company that I worked with, and it just took off from there.
Really? And is it a self-sustaining business?
It's a zero waste, yes. Every ounce of stone that comes into
the shop. So it's a sustainable business, as we would say. But, you know, how's the financial model for this? Are you making a go of it right now?
Yeah, and we're starting new companies, or I'm helping to start new companies throughout the United States every week. We have two people on board.
So you're kind of ground zero for recycling granite?
Yeah, definitely ground zero. I've spoken with the EPA already, and a lot of people who are interested in it. In Chicago alone, there are over 36 million pounds of granite scraps thrown away every single year. I mean, that's a huge amount.
And it is.
Multiply that throughout the entire United States. I mean, it's just unheard of.
Again, 773-838-9278. We're taking guesses on a scale of hardness from 1 to 10 with Mike Novak being, you know, about as hard as diamonds. You know, tough guy. Where's granite on that scale? Give us a call, and we're going to do we want to take a caller here and see?
Do you have one online?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. All right, let us go to line one. Bart from Chicago. How are you, Bart? Glad you're listening.
Fine, thank you. Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning and the rest of the day for myself. All right.
I figured granite between about 7.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Granite is tough. I cut granite with a diamond blade.
Exactly. Bart is very intelligent.
Wow, G7 is correct.
Nailed it.
Diamond blade to cut granite.
Yes. Exactly. You need a diamond blade to cut it.
So there's nothing else you can cut granite with?
You could probably use a regular blade, but it wouldn't last very long.
A regular blade wouldn't last very long. It could go well down right away.
Exactly.
Wow. How did you know this?
I cut granite with a diamond blade. I did some construction work. I worked in construction.
Wow. And
a regular blade was not good. We had to use a diamond blade.
Uh-huh. Excellent. Now, were you aware that Julie was recycling granite?
Yes, I heard her talking about it, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, no, but I meant, did you know it was a product that was recyclable?
I didn't know that, no.
Because, as Julie's pointed out, there's been a lot of waste in the past. But Bart, is it?
I didn't know the recycle. I took granite out of land. I cleared land where there was granite stone.
Did you? Where did you clear granite from?
In Ireland.
Well, I figured it was that. How long have you
been back in the 50s?
Oh my goodness. What kind of work was that like? Is that dangerous?
Oh, that was hard work. Yes, when I used JCB, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry. What was that?
What?
What did you just say?
I cut a granite with the diamond blade in Ireland in the land, clearing some land, you know.
Yeah. That's fabulous. Hey, listen, I am so glad that you won the tickets. Are you a political junkie?
Oh, not really, no.
So why did you want the tickets?
Oh, I don't know. My daughter and her husband like to go there.
Ah, okay. Well, you are a good father.
Yeah, good dad. Way to go.
Yeah. So, all right, well, Bart, we're going to send you the tickets to the Great Debate and pass them along to your daughter. I am so glad you listened to the show. I appreciate that.
Yes, I risk it all the time. I plant a lot of trees. I planted 14 Nigro trees a couple of years ago.
What kind of trees?
Nigro.
Ah, Nigro.
Yes, they're an Arboretti family.
Okay. And where do you live?
I live in Chicago, on the south side, 85th and Keating.
Well, fabulous. I am so glad to have you as a listener to this program. Hey, I'll tell you what, Bart, are you do you have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine?
No, I haven't got no.
You do now.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to send you, because you're not going to be using the tickets, I might as well send you the subscription to the magazine.
Yes, thank you.
So hang on. I'll put you on hold. You talk to Heather, and she'll get the information and send you that and send you the tickets as well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Cool. I'm glad he's a listener to the program. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I bet you didn't expect your first caller to be somebody who actually mined the granite.
No, that's amazing, yeah.
Do you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you know where... in the world, obviously in Ireland, but where granite is generally mined?
All over the world. Spain,
really?
Portugal, China, everywhere.
So it's a fairly common
yes.
mineral. What would you call it? It's not really a mineral.
It is composed of three minerals, which is one of our questions.
So it's a composite.
Yes, and that is how it achieves its different colors and veining and...
And okay, so that is, but we were going to do the sandwich, right, Heather?
Yes.
We will ask the question about...
the next question for Tickets to the Great Debate is, name one of the five rights guaranteed to each American citizen by the First Amendment of the Constitution.
That's an easy one, kids.
Mm-hmm. Name one of five.
Name
773-838-9278.
Let's see how...
And I have to give my friend Meg, if she's listening, I'm stealing this from her. Because I bartended my way through college, and when I would be working and people would begin to talk politics and sort of ruining everyone's fun, she was the one who came up. She was in there enjoying a beverage with us one afternoon, and that was the question she said. If you can name all five, but she said name all five of the rights that were guaranteed in the First Amendment, then we can talk politics. And nobody in the room could do it.
Really?
Really.
That's interesting.
But she made it a little harder. They had to name all five. Here, I'm just asking for one. One of five. Call, and if you have, and we have three more sets to give away. So you got three chances or two, and then we'll save the last set for the last question.
There
goes the phone.
There we go. 773-838-9278. Julie Rizzo from recycledgranite.com is here. Hang on a second. I've got some more questions for you, and of course, we're going to give away more ticks. By the way, that is the website, www.recycledgranite.com, and you can see the video of Julie pounding the granite.
Stamping.
I wasn't sure. You stamp it. I wasn't sure if it was molding or stamp, but it's really stamping.
People seem to think that it's crushed and reconstituted into different shapes, but it's not. This is the actual solid stone.
Yeah, you'll see it if you go to that video, and it's on my homepage on my website, right at the bottom. You'll see that the machine cuts it very neatly into... And what I was worried about when I first saw it was that you had these leftovers from that. You had the scrap from cutting it into pavers. Now, you take the old countertops that have been tossed and... They need to be large enough. Do you have different sizes of the pavers that you stamp?
We do. Our most popular is the 6x9. We have the 6x9, 4x8, a scallop shape, diamond shape also.
But then what do you do with the scrap?
We turn that into an aggregate road base, and we're working with Lake Street Supply to create new granite aggregate, recycled granite aggregate.
Oh, Lake Street
products.
Landscape yeah. Supply, my buddy Mark Moxley over there.
Yep.
And so... How is that? You crush that then, I would assume.
We just purchased a stone crushing machine, and we're able to crush about 2 tons a day, which is a remarkable amount of stone that's just being recycled. And Mark's working on a blend right now I guess there's different sizes. I'm not very familiar with aggregate, but there are different sizes that work in the marketplace, and he's perfecting that right now. So.
In terms of weight, oh my gosh, look at those phones lighting up.
Now I don't know what to do.
Just answer them all.
Okay.
I'll take a quick break here, and then you can do that, and we'll get back to our conversation with Julie Rizzo from recycledgranite.com. Here are some facts from the care of trees. A new study shows that deciduous plants, especially trees, absorb about a third more of air-polluting chemicals than previously thought. In 1 year, trees in the Chicago region removed, approximately 17 tons of carbon monoxide, 93 tons of sulfur dioxide, 98 tons of nitrogen dioxide, and 210 tons of ozone, trees in the Chicago area. The research led by scientists at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, says that trees reduce pollution. And here's how they do it, by actively removing it from the atmosphere. Leaf stomata, and those are the pores on the leaf surface, take in polluting gases, which are then absorbed by the water inside the leaf. Cool stuff. No wonder the Care of Trees wants to be your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. They understand how important trees are. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. We're getting lots of calls here, so Heather's busily, and we'll take the we'll take them in order. Heather, trick or treat, give me something good for cheap, good for my garden, that is. And through October 31st, Lurvy Landscape and Garden Center in Des Plaines, they're at 2550 East Dempster, is having a 20 to 50% sale on everything from grasses and ground covers to hydrangeas and azaleas. And with a $25 purchase, you'll receive a free bag of Bayer tree and shrub planting mix. Lurvy's has a good stock of the hottest perennial in town, the hot pink Invincible Spirit hydrangea, the first ever pink Annabelle hydrangea, which are some are calling, I'm not sure who are, but they are, the most important breeding breakthrough of the decade. It even won Best in Show at the Independent Garden Center Show in Chicago this year. I saw it there, as a matter of fact. This pink perennial is no pushover, though. It's hardy enough to make it through the winter, and it's great for both fresh and dried arrangements. And don't forget your pumpkins, corn stalks. And you know what? I need corn stalks. I've got a couple of pumpkins, but I need to go get my
I need to get it all. I haven't gone at all yet.
You should do it on the way home today.
I should.
I think you should. Maybe you should stop by Lurvy's. And don't forget that you can get mums, pansies, cabbage, and kale, and bulbs. So get your fall planting and Halloween treats at Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster, just east of 294, I-294 in Des Plaines. For hours and more info, visit lurvys.com, LURVEYS.com. Well, I see we have our well-educated listeners.
Yes, and I had to turn away people if they repeated an answer that was already given, so I apologize for that, but we got another set that we'll give away, so.
Okay. Well, shall we just, what order are we taking these in?
That's the order they came in, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, let's go to line one and talk to Michael from North Chicago. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Okay, give us the question again, Heather.
The question again was, what are the 5 rights guaranteed to each American in the First Amendment of the Constitution?
Michael, what are
you? One of five. Name one of five.
I'll exercise mine now, the freedom of speech.
That's one.
Wait. There we go. It was. you got a couple of tickets to the great debate, Michael.
Thank you very much.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Good, and I'm glad you were listening.
All right, hang on, Michael. I'll come back and get your phone number and all your information, okay?
Thank you.
All right, let's put them on hold and go to line 2 and talk to Kathy and Joliet. How you doing, Kathy?
Great. How are you?
I'm fine. And you're going to give us another right from the First Amendment?
Sure. Freedom of the press.
Yep.
All right. That's not what it says on the screen.
No,
but
she gave me more than one, so good for her.
I'm a teacher.
Okay, that's fabulous. Well, you've got 2 tickets to the great debate. I take it you are a big fan of Tom Hartman.
I am.
Who isn't?
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah, I know. Everyone should be.
Yeah. It's just an opportunity to hear him speak live, and then I can't wait to see him throw down with Michael Medved. Because he's a conservative talker on another AM station that's a little more right-sided than we are. We don't make.
Although they're on
here.
The left side of the dial, go figure.
Left side of the dial, but right side of the politics. Tomato, tomato.
All right. Thank you for calling, Kathy.
You're welcome.
And hang on, and Heather will talk to you. And let's finally go to line three, Jeff in Sycamore. You know what? I love the people out Sycamore way, Jeff, because we got
We're cool people out here.
You are, and you're getting the 92.5 that just booms out that way and into
exactly.
the west and western suburbs. And I know that it's a great we have a lot of great listeners out that way, and I appreciate it.
I glued my radio dial right there so no one can change it.
Absolutely.
That's what we like to hear, Jeff.
And what's the right that you're going to give us from the First Amendment?
Your address, your grievances.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's so, the one most people usually don't get. So congratulations, Jeff.
Do I win the O'Donnell Prize there?
What's the O'Donnell Prize?
Her name from Delaware.
Yeah.
And what's her prize?
A witch hat?
No. Do I win the O'Donnell Prize for getting at least one of them right?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Listen, you've already proved yourself smarter than she is, okay? Just by
a congressional candidate. There we go.
You should be running for office,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, he knows it's in the Constitution to start, right?
Yeah, you have to read it first.
All right, Jeff. Hey, I appreciate you listening. I'm going to put you on hold, and you talk to Heather.
And
you will be going to the great debate, and I think that gets rid of all of our tickets.
Well, I'm going to pull out one out of the hat because we almost forgot about Name That Tomato.
Right.
So
and Kathleen would kill me if we didn't
I'm
do this.
I'm going to sacrifice my personal set that I get as an employee.
I bet you can get another set.
I'm sure I can figure out something. So I'm not going to stress too much, but I'm.
Well,
if
here's
the
deal.
If you guys want to yell at the upper, it's my fault because that was. I got a lot of good answers.
But here's the deal, Heather. There's a good chance that nobody will be able to identify this. All right.
So.
But and it's a little harder than just listening to the show because you actually have to go to my website because here's what happened. Kathleen bought some tomato plants in the spring and lost the tags. So we planted all these tomatoes and just kind of saw what came up and what we were going to get. There's a photo of one of the plants. These are the prettiest darn tomatoes I've ever seen in my life. They're red with yellow streaks in them. And if somebody can give me the variety that they look at this and they might know, we can give them a couple of tickets to the great debate.
Yes, sir.
But you got to go to my website and you got to go to Name That Tomato and look at the tomatoes there. And tell us what the heck what we've been
real
eating
quick,
all summer, okay?
Real quick, though, I also, before people call up and yell, the five rights that guaranteed to you in the First Amendment
are
the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, the freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay. For now, for the last pair of ticks, go to my website. And you can tweet this, too, mm-hmm. by the way. We should not or Facebook. Go to Heather's Facebook or mine, because you can find mine easily on my website. Or go to my Twitter account, and you can tweet the variety if you think you can find it. And, oh, my goodness, people calling in? I can't believe it. All right. Anyway. And I don't know how we verify this because we don't have the tag, so that's going to be interesting. Back to Julie Rizzo, and I should let you know that once I let Julie go, we are going to be talking to Scott Koontz from Old House Gardens about bulbs and getting those planted and preserving them and making them come up and all the good stuff. Because it's bulb season. It's bulb planting time. But Julie Rizzo is here from recycledgranite.com. And you know, what have I missed here? You stamp the granite. One of the most amazing things is just how much recycling you're doing by weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a big thing. I mean, it's not everything, because recycling plastic bottles is really important, and we don't do it very well in this country, plastic of all kinds. but by volume, it's a great deal. But by weight, it's not very much. So, you know, facts are deceiving and statistics are deceiving because if, and I've talked about this on the show before, the city of Chicago, because of its construction and demolition ordinance, recycles a lot by volume, but it's mostly concrete and metal and those kinds of things. Whereas we're having a much harder time getting a plastic bottle recycled or not so much canned because there's money in aluminum, but paper and other things. But you have to be very proud of the fact that you're taking, of the stuff you use, 100% of it out of the landfill.
Yeah, and there's so many people who still need to do this across the United States. I mean, one 12-by-12 patio recycles over 2,000 pounds of material. So anyone who's installing a 12-by-12 patio, I mean, that's the, they're saving so much waste. So that's, you know, that's a great thing.
What are the advantages of granite over concrete?
Granite is 3 to 5 times stronger than traditional concrete.
Right, and we mentioned earlier that it's, you know, that one of the toughest surfaces out there. You need a diamond to cut it.
But it's just a diamond blade. It's only $20, a hand grinder.
Don't use your wedding ring, okay? This is not going to work.
But it's, you know, concrete pavers are man-made, so that's not a good thing. It, you know, it destroys the earth. And they're only 3,000 PSI versus granite, which is over 20,000 PSI.
Wow.
On average. So that's, I mean, it's so much stronger. And one of the questions that I get from people, it's only 1 1/4 inch thick, a lot of the material.
Yeah.
They think it's not strong enough. But with statistics,
it occurs to me, I think, well, why wouldn't it crack? Or, you know?
When you use a gravel base with sand on top of it, as you would with any traditional concrete paver, it's exactly the same. I mean, granite has been used for thousands and thousands of years in traditional buildings. So it's nothing new. I mean, this is really old. I'm just taking it out of the garbage and reusing it again. I mean, mm-hmm. We waste so much here in the United States, and there's just no need for it. And this creates jobs, you know? This garbage creates jobs, and it's better for everybody.
And in terms of the business model, you know, especially now that they know you're finding a way to recycle this and make money, what do the granite manufacturers, or not manufacturers, but the people who use it originally for the countertops and stuff, they don't just give it to you, do they?
They do, yeah. Yeah, they do. And as a matter of fact, a friend of mine in San Antonio, I spoke with him a few days ago, he didn't believe me. No one believes that, you know, people are giving away their garbage, but they pay $500 a month to throw this stuff away.
That's right.
It saves them money. By me getting their granite, it saves them money. Mm-hmm. And now, as soon as I have my nonprofit, I'll be able to offer them a tax credit for their garbage.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because you've got a profit, but you're creating a nonprofit. Tell me about that.
Well, for that incentive. I mean, no one really wants to recycle that much, or not that big of a percent of the population wants to. But this is incentive for them to give me their granite and, you know, to use it, and which will create jobs. And
well, how do you make that work since you've got a for-profit arm here, but you're going to accept granite through the not-for-profit? I mean, I don't understand how that works.
I'm switching it to a not-for-profit.
Oh, so you're going to make the whole business a not-for-profit.
Right, yeah, yes.
So the idea is that you can still pay yourself, you can still pay your staff.
Sure, and everyone says, oh, you know, not-for-profit, you don't make that much money, but you can still make a lot of money as a not-for-profit, you know, as many
but people. But so obviously you've talked to people about that business model, and it makes sense.
Well, look at NPR. I mean, there's the big, you know, to do about that. I mean, those executives are making a lot of money, and that's one of the big complaints that our government is giving them, you know, as a not-for-profit, that they're making so much money. And so you can still make money. It's I don't need to make millions to be happy. It's not what it's about.
No, I understand that. I like making a living and doing what
I
want.
Yeah, exactly. It feels so good to take dumpster after dumpster and have other people do this throughout the U.S. It's wonderful.
Well, the website, again, is recycledgranite.com. That's Julie Rizzo. And like I said, if you go to my website on the homepage, you can see the stamping machine and Julie operating it. Okay. That's another thing. On that video, you talked about trying to get an award from Green Build, which is coming to Chicago next month.
Green Build 2010. I didn't win the
scholarship. Which is a conference.
Yeah, it's a huge conference. Now it's over 40,000 people. But that video won. They're going to air it during the ceremony and all throughout Green Build 2010. And my son, JT, put it together for me. And it's just remarkable that out of thousands, we were chosen. Because of what he did. We just took the little video clips, and then he actually put it together with the music. And for me, just a little person here in Chicago, that's just a big thing.
Well,
so.
It's gone viral on YouTube.
Yeah. Another thing, the Morton Arboretum just installed a 1,000-square-foot patio of recycled granite pavers.
From you?
Yes. And they are – it's for the Sustainable Sites Initiative pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it's going to be tested with the Unilock and any other eco-friendly or recycled product, too. So that helps out.
Well, one of the things we got to understand about doing recycling, granite recycling, it's
science.
That's what it is. You know, you've got to have science involved, and good stuff, Julie. I'm happy to have you on, and I'm glad you're. And I hope people who are looking for pavers will go to your company, and because they know they're getting a product that's not being created just for. Just for the landscape, it's something that was there, and it's in reusing is very important. You know, it's a huge part of that whole reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right, and you know, people are using flagstone and sandstone and bluestone. This is it's less than that. It's not as expensive, and it's a recycled product. So all in all, it's much better for the environment. And this, it looks stunning. If you look at the website, I have a ton of photos on there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
you can see great pavers.
And you know, the it's permeable, which is great as an application. It helps with water runoff. You know, stamped concrete doesn't let the water drain, but this application, because of the way the edges are designed, mm-hmm. it lets the water penetrate through the edges, not the stone, the edges.
Right. Of course, also good, which is, you know, permeable pavers are the way of the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Julie Russo,
you.
For being here. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks,
just
Mike.
Keep me posted what's going on.
Thank
and
you.
Heather, a report from Contest Central.
Contest Central, we have a winner.
All
but
right.
We have two people on the phone that want to give their guests. Our runner-up will get a garden prize.
Okay.
And we had some help here. They submitted their answers because, like you said, you guys aren't sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I got these answers. I called Miss Kathleen, who got on the computer and verified what you have in the garden. And based on the photographs and what she read, we've chosen
a winner.
A winner.
All right. So everybody's going to win here.
Everybody's going to walk away with something.
We will have a winner. Let's get Scott Kuntz on the phone now from Old House Gardens. He's going to be traveling, and we'll see how that phone signal holds up. Have you planted your spring bulbs yet? We're going to be talking to Scott about that in just a second. Now, don't panic. There's still time. And if you can't stand the thought of losing them to squirrels, deer, or other critters, why don't you try using Bob-X R as a bulb protector? It will give your bulbs a chance to survive when first planted and throughout the winter, protecting them from critters like voles, deer, and squirrels. All you do is immerse them in straight, concentrated Bob-X R right out of the bottle. Allow bulbs to soak for 3 to 5 minutes. Remove the bulbs from the concentrate and allow them to air dry. Then slam them in the ground, which is what I do. Bob-X is harmless to humans, pets, birds, and aquatic life. It contains no petrochemicals, and it's made from natural and recycled ingredients. Of course, always read and follow label directions. Bob-X is available only at your local independent garden center. You can always order it online, and if you call Bob-X, you're going to talk to a real, live human being. It's bulbtastic? No, it's whatever. It's amazing. You can find Bob-X products at Gomez Greens in Chicago, Alternative Garden Supply in Cary, Illinois, Siegel's Cottonwood Farm in Lockport, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
And one of the things you should know about Cantini, they got a big poinsettia thing coming up on November 30th. And I'm going to, in the coming weeks, give you more information about Cantini Gardens. And they've got some poinsettia experts there, too. And I know a lot of folks, they always want to grow those poinsettias. They want to get them to rebloom. I tell you, it's like trying to create cold fusion on your dinner table. But if you want to try it, go ahead. It's fine with me.
I love the irony that it's a very much a tropical plant that's celebrated mainly in the wintertime. At least here.
There's such irony.
Irony.
There's such irony there.
It's okay. Just because they're pretty red.
Uh-huh. I don't know where we are here.
We're going to get to our contest.
Oh,
winner.
No, we're going to do that first, but I'm I'm looking at, that was Cantini. We just did to, what did I just...
He's a professional, folks.
I'm a professional. I do this for a lot. You know, I was putting
don't
these together.
Don't swim without the swim buddy.
Lord. All right, it's fall decorating there time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center. And this week the savings are mumtastic. Sid's sold out the first several crops of fall garden mums, but a new batch has just arrived at their stores. They're all on sale. And you can get them, you know, from the grab and go all the way up to the majestic, ooh, look at that mum. In addition, you'll save 50% on their entire stock of fall and Halloween decor. You better get it now. Halloween's next week, you know, and when it's done, it's done. The whole idea of holidays is, to me, is very funny because you have all this prep and then, like, at midnight, the day, it's done and we're moving on to the next holiday, whatever it is. And there's still time to plant spring blooming fall bulbs. Scott Kuntz will tell us about that in a second. SIDS has a huge selection available. They have all the favorite varieties of tulips, daffodils, iris, and more. You put them in the ground now and you get a spectacular display in the spring. As Rick DeMille told us earlier in the show, it's going to be blustery in the next few days around here and a little nippy. So if you get your tropicals outside, bring them in. You can give them a bath to get rid of the bugs or fungus, but you might also pre-treat them with Fertilome Triple Action Plus. It's an organic insecticide, miticide, and fungicide all in one. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Neighbor Plainfield Road. Yeah, I know that. At Hassert Boulevard. Wait a second. I got to find... let's go with this one.
Well, I was born an original sinner. I was born from original sin.
See, this is a perfect thing to play on Sunday when people are coming back from church.
You do yell Macbeth in a theater, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely do. I have just made so many actors crazy because I've done that. All right, give me our winners here. We're going to line one first, right?
Yes.
And Sandra, you're on the Mike Novak Show. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Great. I'm so glad you were listening. I can't believe you actually took the time to try to figure out what this was.
Well, I think I might have grown them in my garden, too.
And you think it is?
Gold medal heirloom.
Okay. Now, according to our judges, that is not exactly right, but you know what? I tell you what you should do, Heather. Go find a picture of gold medal heirloom for me if we can. So here's what I'm going to do. You're either going to get the tickets to the Great Debate, or you're going to get another prize. Where do you live?
In Bolingbrook.
Bolingbrook. Oh, well, then we're just going to give you...
It is.
That's very close. Now, what's the other one? Give me the other winner. Don't tell us what it is. Do-do-do. Yeah, it's the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the gold. You're close, though.
Okay.
It really looks very similar. So I'm going to give you a $25 gift certificate to SID since you're out that way.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, fabulous. I'm so glad you were listening, Sandra. Hang on and give Heather your information. Let us go to, where are we going now? Line four. Donald, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning, Michael.
Don. You always win.
Well, I worked hard, Michael. I spent an hour researching.
I didn't know you knew him.
Yeah, it's Don Choi. It's Captain Coleus.
Oh!
That's okay. You knew this.
He's still a listener.
No, I didn't know. I had to look it up. I looked at hundreds of pictures this morning.
Sure you did. Are you interested in going to the Great Debate?
I don't think so. I've got so much work to do.
Well,
I don't think I can make
I'll keep my tickets, or we can give them to Sandra if she really wants to go.
Super.
All right, so that's what we'll figure out. But tell us the variety.
I thought it was vintage wine.
We're pretty sure that...
We're 99.9%
yeah,
correct.
Yeah, it sure looks like vintage wine. And actually, the gold medal is very close as well, but I think we've got vintage wine there.
I do, too.
Aren't they pretty?
They're
just
beautiful.
The prettiest things?
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, Donald, I got to run. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Anything going on at the conservatory, Lincoln Park Conservatory, that I should know about?
We're closing down the tropical show to get ready for our most popular train holiday show.
Ah, the train holiday show. I wish I had my train whistle here. I'll have to bring it in. Boop, boop.
I might have to bring my son and nephew this year for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, always a pleasure. And thank you for giving us the correct answer, because I would have gone crazy if I didn't know. I'll talk to you soon,
Let's
Don.
Let's ask Sandra what she wants.
Super.
Bye-bye, Don. What's that?
Sandra. Should we ask her what she wants?
Yeah. Sandra, what do you want?
I want the ticket.
She's going.
You're going. You're going to the Great Debate. Hang on, and we'll Heather will take care of it.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Now... wait, I
got
to put her on.
I got it.
You got her? Okay. Let me go to line two and bring in Scott Koontz from Old House Gardens. How you doing, Scott?
Good morning, Mike. I'm terrific.
Fabulous. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's been a little while. I can't remember the last time we talked.
Way too long, Mike. Way too long.
and Scott, is, as I said, is with Old House Gardens, and they're based in one of my favorite places in the world, which is Ann Arbor, Michigan, for obvious reasons, as anybody's listened to me before knows. Not only am I from Michigan, but, you know, I went to U of M.
Go Blue,
which do you think they can actually win six games this year?
It's looking a lot better than last year, but yeah, we're still in that painful growing period.
I know, it really is painful. If it's painful one more year, he's gone. Rodriguez
is out
of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the garden, right? You give the plant a couple of chances, but if it's just not going to perform, yank it out and put it on the curb.
Exactly. And on that note, if you have a question, anybody listening about bulbs, because now's the time to get them in the ground, 773-838-9278, and Scott will do his best to help. You know what? A couple of things you should know. Scott is from Old House Gardens, and you do heirloom, you preserve heirloom bulbs, and you're pretty much the only company doing that on the planet, from what I understand.
Pretty much, yep. I mean, there are sources for antique vegetables and heirloom roses and so on, but we're the one specialist in heirloom varieties of flower bulbs.
They're seeds, but bulbs is an odd thing, and why do you think that is? Is it because people are just fascinated by the newest and the brightest, you know, whatever's glittering in front of them right now?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I think we're all interested in new things and the future, and a lot of great stuff is being introduced all the time. But my point of view is that there's a lot of great stuff from the past, too, that we've just sort of shoved to the back and forgotten about. I'm more interested in the plant that's fabulous from the past than a plant that's just old.
All right, well, that's the question I have for you. How do you know a plant from the past is fabulous and worth saving? Because it does take up space. You have to get farmers to grow it, or you grow it yourself. And I have to... admit, I went to your website, was looking around, and one of the things that I was really inspired by is the fact that you are doing some urban farming to grow bulbs. And I've talked about urban farming in Chicago to grow vegetables, and there's a lot of it going on, but it never occurred to me that you could be doing the same thing.
We've been looking for a little farm to move my business to for a while, but... I think, like a lot of Americans, my finances right now aren't always keeping pace with my desires. So we just decided after 3 years of looking and not finding something we could afford that was close enough, why not just use these vacant lots and underused rental backyards and things like that right here in Ann Arbor? And so far it's working out great. We're moving our offices out of my house, which is way too cramped, into the upper floor of what we call the barn out back, just a 1920s garage, to make a little more room for that, too. But the urban farming has gotten a lot of positive response from our customers.
Are the drawbacks of the urban farm? And first of all, I wouldn't imagine that there's a lot of vacant lots in Ann Arbor because...
No, Mike, but you know, how it started was we live in the historic district by downtown Ann Arbor, and my neighbor, single guy, has some rental properties, and including the house he lives in next to us. He rents out a couple of apartments in it and lives in the downstairs. So he had an old vegetable garden completely overgrown. I said, Mark, why don't you let me put some flowers in there? And I think it was probably a 10 by 10 plot to start with. And every year he tells us, make it bigger, make it bigger, make it bigger. And now we have planted our bulbs in most of his backyard, and he absolutely loves it because he gets flowers. So we kind of started with that idea and looked for other rental properties in our neighborhood with big, open, grassy, unused, sunny backyards. And it turns out the tenants absolutely love having flowers in back instead of just empty grass. The landlord has less that he needs to get mowed, and so far it's really been terrific. And we're taking, you know, grass and all the care that takes out of the system, and putting a little bit more interesting plant material out there.
Do you find that there are different bulbs that are better suited to a city than a country?
Well, one advantage in a city, if you're far enough in, is that you don't have to deal with deer. So the really tasty bulbs like tulips and lilies are protected. So that's one thing. But I'd say, you know, people in cities are looking for the same things people out in the country are looking for, bulbs that will come back year after year without a whole lot of care. And for that, I think in the Midwest, I'd recommend peonies, which aren't exactly bulbs, but we sell them anyway, and daffodils.
A peony is technically a tuber, would we call it?
It's a big
root.
Fleshy root.
Yeah.
And because it's so thick and woody, it was easy for bulb dealers to ship them in the past dormant like you would with a tulip bulb. So in old catalogs, and we decided to continue that tradition because there really are a lot of great old peonies still around.
So you handle peonies as well. What are some of the great bulbs that you've got now, the heirlooms that people are finding to be just fabulous, they have to have in their yard?
Well, there's one of our really popular daffodils, and you mentioned the website. I'll just mention the URL if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it. Yes.
Oldhousegardens.com. And, you know, we're mail order, so you order online and the bulbs get delivered to you by mail. People like our website. They say it's easy, so I'm always happy to hear that. One daffodil in particular is always used to be called the pink daffodil. It's Backhouse. Mrs. Backhouse was introduced in the 20s, and it's a trumpet with petals and sort of a peachy pink trumpet that is just really beautiful. Multiplies well in Midwestern gardens. So that's one popular choice. I'd say in peonies, one I'm really keen on right now is a white single called Crinkled White that dates back to the 20s. Single peonies aren't everybody's idea of what an old-fashioned peony should look like, but this one's going on, getting up towards 100 years old, and singles stand up so well in the garden that I really, really like that.
You know, that's a really good point. But with peonies, those people tend to like the big doubles and triple, mm-hmm. you know, but they flop.
Yeah, they do.
Where the singles are so elegant, you know, they really are. And I've got a peony in my yard that it's time to rip it out because it just flops on me all the time. And let's get something a little more airy, something that'll hold up. That's Scott Kuntz from Old House Gardens. And again, it's, the website is oldhousegardens.com and he deals in heirloom bulbs. Let me ask you a quick question. About bulb planting, because this is time when we do that. Bulbs, if you don't know, they're plants unto themselves. Everything's there. It's just ready to come out, and you know which
right.
It'll do in the spring, or it'll come out in the summer, depending on when, you know, what season the bulb is for. And what about fertilization? There seems to be different theories on that. Some people say you use, a straight 10-10-10 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and you put it on over the top. And some people like, and now I'm blanking totally on the thing.
Bone meal.
Bone meal. Thank you.
Yeah.
And yet I read something not too long ago that said bone meal is overrated and it's not really as potent as it once was.
The first thing I'd say, Mike, is I've learned this the hard way. I was always telling my customers, you know, do a little fertilizing whenever you think of it, spring or fall, scratch into the top surface, and that's going to work just great. The thing is, you can build up too much of some of those nutrients in your soil. The nitrogen washes out quickly, but the phosphorus and potassium, they can really build up to levels where, and it's happened with us, because I'm such an avid fertilizer, where the soil got over-optimized on those nutrients, and it was really adversely affecting the growth of my plants. So I'm a big believer now in soil tests, which you can usually get pretty cheaply. You know, call your local garden center, say, how do I get a soil test? But other than that, I think a little bit of a balanced fertilizer, like 10-10-10, or any kind of vegetable fertilizer, rose fertilizer, all those things. Well, anything but a lawn fertilizer.
Yeah.
It's fine. Just scratch a little bit on top. Bone meal, the problem is these days it's processed differently, and it really doesn't have the nutritional, as much nutritional value as it used to. Plus, it tends to draw animals, so who wants that?
Yeah. And what about organics versus synthetics? You know, and it's 10-10-10, you're not going to have an organic, basically, because they're usually not... their numbers
right,
aren't that high.
That strong. It doesn't have to be that strong. A little bit balanced tends to be good. I think in a lot of soils, you really don't need to fertilize much unless the plant, the bulb, starts to disappoint you. When that clump of daffodils that's always been great starts to not produce as many flowers, my first thought is the tree got too big, so it's getting too much shade, so look to that. And then the second thing is try a little fertilizer there.
Would now be a good time if you've had a problem with that? Or do you have to wait until
I would say now. Mike, I really think there's so many things to do in the garden. Do it when you think about it. So there you go. You got a little reminder this morning. Go out and scratch a little fertilizer.
All right.
It's going to work great.
Let's take a quick question from Samuel out in Oak Lawn. Samuel, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
I have an established 4 or 5 year old bed of tulips and daffodils. And a new bed of hyacinths and tulips. Both of them, I'd like to add some, you know, extra couple more inches of soil. The new bed was about a month ago.
All right. So you have a new bed of tulips and hyacinths, and you want to add soil on top of that?
Because I did dig down to the clay, and I couldn't go down any deeper.
Oh, I see. So you want to make sure the bulbs are deep enough, and so he's building up the soil on top. Scott, is that a problem?
No, that shouldn't be a problem. I'm always a little nervous when people are adding a lot of amendments down where the roots are, because even though it sounds good on the package or wherever you got it, sometimes that added soil causes problems. But as long as you're putting a couple inches on the top, that shouldn't be any problem at all.
And what about the established bed? I put some gladiolas in a 5-year-old tulip and daffodil bed, and I nicked some of the daffodils when I was digging in for the gladiolas.
You know, that's a really good question, Samuel, because I nick bulbs all the time when I'm digging. Scott, what happens when you nick a bulb like that, maybe even slice it in half?
You know, a lot of times it can heal itself. It's like us, you know, we get a cut. I think most of the time I would just tuck it back in the soil, cross your fingers, and move on. Plants have amazing powers. If it's a really special bulb that you're concerned about, I'd take it out of the soil, let that wound callus over a little bit, like a scab on, you know, if you get a cut, and that'll give some more protection to it. But I'd say 90% of the time you slice a chunk of the bulb out, put it back in the ground, it's going to catch back up and be fine.
That's great, because that's a question that I have had for years and never had enough sense to actually ask anybody about it, because it's something you don't think about unless you're digging at the time and you go, oops,
yeah,
I just sliced that bulb. Oh, my goodness.
Samuel,
by the way, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, that's a difficulty with bulbs is, you know, that foliage disappears for much of the year, so it's almost impossible not to slice into them.
You know what? We're flat out of time, dude.
That's good.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Oldhousebulbs.com, and that's Scott Kuntz. And take care, buddy.
Happy planting, Mike. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Listen, Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is something you should be picking up. It'll help your Zone 5 garden stay at its best. They got Q&A column. They got Ask the Experts feature. They've got the What to Do column. If you live anywhere near Chicago, there are different reports from the West Suburbs, Rockford, Southwestern Michigan. It's all there. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. That's all the time we have. Wow. Lots going on today. Join us next week. We're going to be talking about spooky trees in cemeteries. And in the meantime, go green or go home.